And now, it's time for the Score Afternoon Show.
That's a terrible name.
So in this time slot, I guess this is no longer the Parkins and Spiegel Show, because the Parkins and Spiegel Show no longer exists. So we're just kind of, this is Score Afternoons.
I am Danny Parkins.
He's dead to me.
Hanging out with you, Score Afternoons. Score Afternoons is about bringing in anyone and everyone.
That is a delightful lineup of co-hosts have over the next couple of weeks here.
I never heard of half of these guys, and the ones I do know are way past their prime.
Most of these guys never had a prime.
The facts are, we lost our best player to free agency. Obviously, it's time for some changes.
This guy here is dead.
Cross him off then.
I think Gabe's debut has been spectacular, but
I'm thinking about calling it Spiegel and Company.
Now it's good to have fun with names.
You know what's fun about Spiegel and Company is it sounds a lot like Skibbity Boppity, Spiegel and Company.
Skibbity and Company live, presented by Social Furniture.
Skyrockets in flight.
This isn't part of the program.
Afternoon delight.
I'm sorry about this afternoon.
No, please,
everyone be quiet.
The Score Afternoon Show with
insert host's name here
on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, yes, indeed. The members might change, but again, we are the Starland Vocal Band bringing you Afternoon Delights. What's up, everybody?
I'm adding that one to the list, by the way.
Starland Vocal
Band?
Yeah,
the list of things that we tell each other they can't say, we're adding that one.
That quick, huh? That quick. We're 30 seconds in. We've got an addition to the list.
Again, we shouldn't be talking about this until Jim Rome gets here. It's going to be his show, so let's not talk about these things.
Today,
just out of respect for Jim Rome.
Today on Score Survivor, we can share that the tribe has spoken and Anthony Heron's torch has been snuffed out. After 2 days, at least for this week, Mark Grody in the house with me, Spiegs. What's up, Mark?
I am sorry that you guys had to wait this long to get me in the afternoon chair here on the afternoon show. So I am here. I will be here today. I will be here on Friday. And it is a pleasure to be with you, Matt Spiegel, today.
It is lovely to have you here, especially on a day when we get to talk to Caleb Williams.
Yes.
The whole radio station buzzing and excited to talk to Caleb Williams, which should happen in about 10, 12 minutes right here on 670 The Score. Oh, it's going to happen in 2 minutes. Look at that.
Stand by, everybody.
Bing, bang, boom. You and I gathering with Chris Tannehill and with Shane Reardon as we were listening to the Cubs game right here on The Score and that outrageous comeback by the Cubs. They end up sweeping the Pirates, have now won 9 of 12 since Danny Parkins left.
Yes.
Which says a lot.
There's no way the Cubs score 6 runs in the 9th inning if Parko was here today. There's no way that they score 11 runs in the final 3 innings. I thought this game was over early because, yeah, the Cubs were down 10-3.
Yeah, and there was bad defense. Isak Paredes, super awkward going backwards for a pop-up, soft one. He didn't turn around. And
screwed up Swanson on that play, too.
Yeah, he didn't haul ass backwards either. It looked like a guy hoping that Dansby Swanson was going to come get it or like Happ was going to come in and get it. Ball hits softly, falls for an RBI single. 2 more runs score after that at 6-3, and the Cubs were never close after that until they scored 11 runs in the final 3 innings. Absolutely unbelievable. Now they find themselves 2 games over 500, 5 games back of the Braves for the final wild card spot in the National League. The Mets are in between them. They could catch the Mets. The problem is the Braves are 8-2 in their last 10. So it's hard to see them catching the Braves. They need Atlanta to collapse, and that's just it's difficult to imagine. But the Cubs are playing well.
And they need a sweep somewhere along the line.
Just swept the Pirates right there.
That was a sweep. Yes.
They 2 out of 3 in 3 straight series and then a sweep of the Pirates. But
keep going, go
into Washington, sweep them, come back to Chicago, sweep the Pirates. I mean, you've backed yourselves in to this absurd spot, and that's the way that they need to play.
And we haven't even gotten to Craig Timber yet, right? I mean, that's where he does his best work, and some of the best work is going on right now for Craigers.
Yeah. Craig Timber historically is when the Brewers have played extremely well since he was there, and we'll see, man. It's It's been fun. It's been fun to watch Pete Crow Armstrong with four hits and then a walk today in his final plate appearance. And Miguel Amaya's been on fire. That Cubs offense has been really, really good.
Christian Bethencourt today with seven RBIs. You realize what the best part of the day so far is.
I
do. Know what it is.
I know what it is. I know what it is when somebody threw out there, I wonder what the last catcher to have seven RBIs.
And I said immediately, just to be funny, I said Barry Foote. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Barry Foote of the late 70s and early 80s did have a 7 RBI game at some point in time. Actually, no, I could be specific. 1980 is when he had that. Mm-hmm. Giovanni Soto did it in 2008. Your guy, George Mineral, did it in 1974. And then some guy did it in 1901. As well.
Some guy.
Old Ed Bailey, I think it was.
16-8 in August for the Cubs. Feels like it's probably too late, but it's been entertaining, and that's a good thing. Ryan Poles is going to speak this hour. We got a lot of Bears for you on this show. We'll talk about Hard Knocks Episode 4 from last night. You will hear Matt Eberflus from earlier today talking about the roster and talking about Caleb Williams. And as I mentioned, Ryan Poles is going to speak this hour. We'll try to turn that around for you and have it at the top of the next hour. And we are moments away, hopefully, from talking to Caleb Williams, the Bears quarterback.
Can't wait to talk to him. Yeah, the Bears in action today. A lot of the talk, obviously, about the cuts. The Bears did form a practice squad today, but they're at work today. And then the Bears are going to work tomorrow. Then they get the whole weekend off. So hopefully they get a lot done in the next 2 days. And it's nice. This is like such a fresh part of the season, because now we get to actually see the starters play and the actual roster instead of, with all due respect, a lot of riffraff being out there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Some of that riffraff came back today in the form of the practice squad. A whole bunch of folks added to the practice squad, including one of the two quarterbacks that were let go. That is Austin Reed to the practice squad. Austin Reed, Caleb Williams' workout pal from over the course of the last 8 to 12 months or so, a couple different off seasons he spent with Austin Reed, and now Austin Reed makes the practice squad. But let's talk to the Bears quarterback, the man of the moment, Caleb Williams, who gets to hear this from our Chris Tannehill first.
And we will see the first snaps in a Bears uniform for the first number one overall pick in a Chicago Bears jersey since 1947. This is the 2022 Heisman winner at USC and Caleb Williams. Really been under a microscope.
What did the scout tell you that you can report?
Caleb, he scares the out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
I actually saw that. All hail
the new king in town. Never judge a book by its cover. This cat can ball, man.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
I don't get that one.
I didn't mind being somebody compared to Prince, because he's...
It's a great compliment. Yeah.
Williams play action, fakes it. Smoot doesn't buy the fake this time, but Williams connects. What a throw by Caleb Williams.
I dare you to challenge Prince to a game of ball one-on-one. Challenge him. All right? And make sure your people is there to see the game, because you might get embarrassed. Trust me.
Been a long time since Chi-Town has introduced something like that.
We're up Southern California. And quarterback, 6'1", Caleb Williams.
We are pleased to welcome in Caleb Williams here on The Score. Joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. In Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Caleb, it's me, Matt Spiegel, and Mark Grody, who you probably know from press conferences up at Hallis Hall. Welcome in. How are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
We are good. So you're all right with the Prince comparison, right? You're all right with that comp. We certainly are.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the Prince comp. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, right? And Prince was the halftime show the last time the Bears were in the Super Bowl. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the pouring rain. So we're all good with that. Caleb, you've said a couple times now that practice has been harder than the games, and we love that as a concept around here. Why do you think the games have been easier than your Bears practice?
I would say I think Coach does a good job of, and obviously the games are hard. Obviously, coaches, the other teams are, you know, obviously going to try and, you know, throw a bunch of different wrinkles in the game or in the game and things like that. You know, but practices and things like that, Coach said he was going to, you know, try and make practice and going to make practice harder than the games. And so the situations he puts us in, you know, how hard we actually, you know, are out there working, how much time I would say we put into it throughout the day, how much time we're on the field, on the grass, you know, and a bunch of other things that puts us in, you know, different circumstances. Like one of the things that we do, we, you know, from the huddle to the line, to the actual play, you know, a lot of times the shot clock is a little bit higher than, or starts a little bit later in actual games, and it doesn't practice for us. So it's just, you know, the small things that make, you know, the game, you know, a little bit easier on game day.
Do you enjoy going against a defense that talks a lot and has some swagger? Jalen Johnson is a friend of this show. Have you had some chatter with Jalen Johnson? He's aware that he's very good. If you're not aware, he is aware that he's excellent.
Yeah, no, he is really good. And it's been great going against him and against that defense. Like I've said, since I've got here, the defense, you know, statistically last year was top five. And then, you know, this year, I think they're going to just elevate and be a lot better than they were last year, just growing and building off the bond and belief that they have within themselves and then, you know, within the team. You know, going against them, you know, it's been really fun. It's been really challenging. Them throwing a bunch of different things at me, from coverages to blitzes to simulated blitzes and all these different things throughout this process.
Yeah, I think it's legit too, because at the beginning of camp, I didn't really want to buy into all of that, like the defense is making Caleb better, and because we dealt with that with your predecessors as well, but I do feel like it's absolutely legitimate. One thing that I've been wondering, Caleb, just from being out at the press conferences with you and listening to you in other interviews, that it seems like you take exception to people saying that everything you do out there is natural, such as the 45-yard bomb to Roma Dunze. Is that true? Do you take exception to that because there's hard work involved as well?
Yeah, I mean, those things, you know, things like that don't just come from overtime. And it may have come from other sports that I've played over time, but it doesn't just, you know, I don't just grow up as a little child and have, you know, this – I guess you could say everybody makes so much big of a deal, but unnatural, you know, things or plays that happen. You know, we work on those things. We work on a bunch of different situations. I've worked on a bunch of different situations and, you know, whether it's actually contort my body and put my body in different positions to be able to deliver the ball right, left, in the pocket, out of the pocket, you know, going backwards, going forward, sideways, all these different things. You know, all those things I've worked on over the years, and then, you know, it may just seem or look natural, because it didn't just happen, you know, from this year to last year. It's been something that I've been able to, you know, carry over for years on years, and, because of the, you know, the work that I've, you know, put in, and then the work that, we put in as a team. I think a lot of it comes from confidence, from the hard work.
So, Caleb, there's a clip on one of the Hard Knocks episodes where you say that you don't get nervous, that like it happened once in high school, but not anymore. That's amazing. Is that something you have taught yourself or willed yourself to not get nervous? And how have you done that?
I think that's another thing that comes from the belief in the hard work that I've put in, whether it's mental. You know, and studying the plays, studying the other team, whether it's physical and my belief of when I go out there, you know, that, you know, I'm physically matched up well versus other, you know, versus the defense. And then, I also put myself in different positions mentally, you know, that if situations pop up that I haven't physically practiced, you know, that I, you know, mentally at least I've hopefully gone over and things like that.
Caleb, one thing that is very noticeable from us, from the media watching you again every day out in practice, is that you're constantly smiling. Like, you're always smiling out there. We see it on Hard Knocks. I see it every day out at practice. Why are you always smiling? Is life that good out there, Caleb?
Life is pretty good. I've been a part of this organization. Been quarterback. I get to be around some great people every single day. And it's also, even when I'm not necessarily feeling the best, it also is a job that I have. Where it's not about me. It's not about how I'm feeling. It's not about anything like that. It's about making sure that I can control those emotions, making sure that, my emotions aren't affecting my teammates, and bringing them down in negative ways. So me being pissy or me being angry or me not smiling or giving positive energy to my teammates, is affects the team. Being able to smile, being able to, bring joy and light, is an important part of my job. And obviously, I'm not going to be a robot. Obviously, there's going to be times where I do get frustrated and things like that and say stuff or act certain ways. But being able to control it in a certain manner, is important and a part of this job.
We're talking to Caleb Williams here on 670 The Score. Aaron Rodgers as a model for quarterback play. Man, as much as he has kicked our ass in this town, it makes all the sense in the world because of the style of play and the greatness. What traits or mechanics did you specifically work to emulate from Aaron Rodgers?
From a young age, I've worked his out-of-pocket stuff, trying to be as accurate as possible is another. And then I would say another one I learned this at a young age. The more the ball can spin, the easier it is for the wide receiver to catch it. I learned that from him. And so always trying to make sure that the ball has a spiral. Its spin rate is up. There's a bunch of the way the way he contorts his body. One of my favorite throws, I think, is his first start versus the Vikings. He's kind of rolling out left and throws it kind of falling back, I guess, and throws it over his head in between like two or three people and completes it for a touchdown. It's down in the red zone if y'all want to go back and look at it. The miraculous things that he can do in games, in the pocket, out of the pocket, whether he's getting pulled down, he's always been pretty special. So, looking up to him as a QB, and trying to practice things that he's done or that I've seen has been a part of my practice and trainings.
Oh, the irony that you, this quarterback we now have in town and we're so excited about, are emulating a guy that so many of us had grown to hate. Caleb, are you okay if we still hate him as Bears fans in this town?
I have no decision making over who you love or hate. I'll always appreciate his.
Oh yeah, no, we appreciate his excellence, absolutely, and that's been an interesting thing to talk about because we appreciate him absolutely, but also hate him just the same. But man, it's the way that you're talking about with all that extra spin makes all the sense in the world. One other thing about the way you play, and it always struck me that it's the way that he played too, scrambling and moving around, but always looking to throw. Oh my God, always looking to buy time to throw. Is that something that you've watched him do through the years, among others?
Yeah, I would say in those ways we're very similar. I don't necessarily want to run or enjoy running as much as I enjoy throwing an explosive play or just a positive play down the field to one of my guys when the play breaks loose. And a lot of times in games or anything like that, there's always explosive plays once you break the pocket. Obviously, you have things set up within the pocket and explosive plays that happen within the pocket. But, a lot of plays become really explosive when you break the pocket. So, always looking to throw, knowing that factor. And then, when it gets time to run, third downs, time to go win or fourth quarter, anything like that, 2 minute, it's time to go run sometimes. So just picking and choosing.
You know, even in the Super Bowl last year, when everybody was talking about Pat Mahomes making plays with his legs, he made those plays because they respected that he could kill him with the throw at all times, right? It's like the throw's got to come first. Don't you agree?
Yep. Yeah. Throw, in my mind, throw always comes first.
How comfortable are you just staying in the pocket, Caleb? We've seen a lot of, you know, play action and moving out of the pocket. Are you comfortable in the pocket as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do anything and everything that the team needs me to do. In the pocket, out of pocket, whatever the case may be, keepers, play fakes, play actions, handoffs, under center, gun, sprint outs, you name it.
Bears.
See,
nice.
That's anything that they need. We're enjoying you saying the Bears at the end of every press conference. How much fun are you having with that and with the claw at this point, Caleb?
It's been fun. It's been good. They've been, I think the fans and, you know, I think they're catching on a little bit faster than my teammates are, but it's been great. I didn't think it was actually going to catch on, or I wasn't even trying to make it catch on. I thought it was going to be my thing. And then, it's been every time whether it's a picture, whether it's people talking about it, it tends to pop up a lot now. So,
I absolutely love it. I'm sitting in your press conferences. The only adjustment that I would make to it, Caleb, like once you get comfortable, just simplify it and just go with a simple Bears. Bears. Just like that. You don't even need the duh. Just go Bears.
Got it.
All right. Thanks, Caleb. Thanks for doing it, man. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, man.
That's Caleb Williams here on 670 The Score.
I don't know if he's feeling the Bears.
I don't know. Yeah. That's your thing. That's your thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I appreciate you shooting the shot.
Do you think that he felt like it was a competitive thing? Like he does the Bears and I just do Bears?
I love that he said the fans are it's catching on with the fans more so than it is even with his teammates.
Yeah.
At this point.
Oh, yeah. Now he has to do it after every press conference.
So, I mean, he gets it on the Aaron Rodgers thing. He gets it that we're going to hate him. And he knows that, but the respect that he has, specific plays, that touchdown on his first start against the Vikings, he's talking about a very specific moment at the beginning of that guy's career. So that's Caleb as a kid watching that.
I think the thing about Aaron Rodgers that I think Caleb Williams might have too is Aaron Rodgers, while not slow, is not a burner. Just the ability to the quickness in the pocket, and that like how many times have we played against Aaron Rodgers and you're like, he's sacked, he should be down, and then Aaron Rodgers finds a guy downfield. We're starting to see that with Caleb Williams as well.
Yeah, and the desire to throw first and have the run be dead last.
You know,
the last thing that he's going to do is the run, because he knows you can make explosive plays with the arm, and you see it with everything that he does in the pocket and in the backfield. Everything is designed to extend the play and keep the head up and look downfield. And I gotta say, that is the thing that has been consistent with what Green Bay has done forever. I mean, Favre could run, but always wanted to kill you with the throw. And then that's the same with Rodgers, and it's the same with Love. You see that Love has learned that, that Jordan Love has learned that, and Caleb has that as his instinct right off the bat, to extend but look downfield with his head up at every turn.
Yeah, and I go back to the very first third down pass that Caleb Williams made in his first preseason game against Buffalo. It's 3rd and 13. Mm-hmm. And that's a great example of that he can probably take off there. He can probably pass it off to Kari Blassingame. He had two outlet guys. I think Travis Homer was the other. And instead, he drills the ball into DJ Moore in traffic for 14 yards and a first down. I think that a lot of quarterbacks in that situation are either dumping it off or running. And right from the beginning, his eyes are downfield. Let's get to the sticks as opposed to having, you know, having somebody have to try to get to the first down marker.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's hear from you. What'd you think of Caleb Williams right there? Let's react to that together. And your thoughts on that are welcome via phone call, via text right now, right here at 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. It's Spiegs and Mark Grody. We just talked to Caleb Williams, and we'll kick around what we learned and saw from Hard Knocks Episode 4 last night as well. Keep it right here on The Score. We're enjoying you saying the Bears at the end of every press conference.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been good.
I absolutely love it. I'm sitting in the in your press conferences. The only adjustment that I would make to it, Caleb, like once you get comfortable, just simplify it and just go with a simple Bears. Bears. Just like that. You don't even need the duh. Just go Bears.
Got it. Got it.
All right. All right. Thanks, Caleb. I think you guys are tight. I think you've established a bond that's going to last deep into the season.
I'm going to be looking them right in the eyes the next time doing the press. Are you going to do the thing? Are you going to do the thing?
Oh, man.
I mean, at first blush, I don't know if he likes that idea, but...
Dude's been doing a lot of media.
Oh yeah,
he's got a lot of interviews that he's doing. Some delightful stuff in there for me though. Like I love that he says he doesn't get nervous, and he's like worked on that. It's interesting, man. There's a lot of polish to him. There's a lot of sheen to him, and of course there's an underside somewhere. There's this thing where like it, you gotta, if you're the guy who's like working desperately to always smile and portray the good vibes, like you gotta have people in your life that you can explode on, people in your life for that you can show your desperation to. And he's got that. It, like you can show your sadness that you can crumble with. It's like, that's why you love it so much and you're working that hard. That's why you got to have those people, whether it's your mom that you can cry with after a game, whether it's, you know, friends that you can talk to late at night on the phone, whatever. That stuff has to come out somewhere, man.
No, no doubt about it. I'll say this, though, about Caleb Williams. Occasionally during training camp or the practices that we've seen involving Caleb Williams, when they turn the music off, they've got the music pumping out there. When the music is off and we could hear everything that's going on, Caleb is loud and hard on himself.
Mm-hmm.
When he makes a bad throw or whatever the case may be, audibly hear him, ah, you know what I mean? Like, so there's not a smile with that. So he's very, very talkative in general, very hard on himself. I'm not going to go so far as to say that he's a perfectionist, because I think we throw that around. I mean, we used to say that Mitch Trubisky was, you know, totally in that category of perfectionist. I don't know if he is there yet, but he is hard on himself. So there's the smiles, but then there's the anger, too, that he has when he makes plays that are not as good.
You know what that goes with, though, is when he talks about coaching. When he talks about like what he has appreciated from the coaches, he said their encouragement and their grace. We played it last week. It was from a couple weeks ago. And we played it last week to go along with Tua Tagovailoa talking about Coach Brian Flores going at him too hard, and that Mike McDaniel has encouraged him and kind of built him back up. Some of these kids who have been plotting and planning to be great since they were 11 in Caleb's way, they don't need coaches to like drive them super hard and grind them into dust. They're already doing that to themselves.
Yeah, well, I'll say this too. Like Caleb finds the coaches afterwards. Like he is always on the sidelines talking to somebody about what just happened, whether it was good or bad, talking to the quarterback's coach, talking to Shane Waldron, talking to whomever, to Matt Eberflus, as we constantly see in HBO Hard Knocks. So he is a guy who does, going back to the Matt Nagy era, somebody who actually does want to know the why. Like he really seems to want to know and will listen to people and not just take it upon himself to say what went wrong. He wants to know what went wrong.
Yeah, he wants to know, and he wants to talk about it and dissect it. But he doesn't need like some hardo like going at him and just like telling him like, no, you suck. You better work harder in some classic old school football coach trope.
He does not need Chad Morton, running backs coach, yelling at him, because Chad Morton is out here yelling at everybody. We saw some of that in Hard Knocks last night, just going after Ian Wheeler to the point where I was like, is Chad Morton a little bit too much here? Is Ian Wheeler really getting something out of all of this tough love that's coming his way? But yeah, I mean, I guess certain players react differently to certain coaches. Some guys like it when you're hard on them. Some guys don't want to hear it. Morton's giving it to everybody.
Well, that was teased a few weeks ago when the director of Hard Knocks, Shannon Furman, had told Adam Johns over on The Athletic that, oh, we found something with the running backs. We didn't think we were going to have something with the running backs necessarily, but they liked Chad Morton. And then there's Jennifer King. And Ian Wheeler's dealing with all this stuff. And then comes the injury, and you get the human moments with Ryan Poles last night and Ian Wheeler.
Oh, yeah. And then the hug, man. There was a hug at the end of Hard Knocks. Ian Wheeler with his mom. I didn't get the timing on it, but it was a good 2-minute hug with mom.
Grody, I think next time you see Ian, I know he's going to be with the team, you should offer the same.
Yeah, like just
I think you should hug him longer than he hugged his mom.
Just do a quick hug and then just keep holding him as he tries to get away. Yeah. What are you doing, man?
Have Tevin like give you the endorsement. Like, hey, Ian, he's a good dude. He can hug you.
He's a good hugger.
Oh, you want to hug him?
He talks about hugs. Oh, ahead, he suggests that I hug my fiance. He's a good hugger.
Let me ask you this. Did the hug go too long?
No, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it totally encapsulated the relationship between a mother and a son in a time where this dude shouldn't be here. He should be in med school. You know, he's just... He had that dream ripped out from under him.
He did, but he's still going to be around. And no, I felt the same way.
He gets injured reserve. You get paid more on injured reserve than you do on the practice squad.
Right? I bet he retires.
Go to back to medical school.
Yeah, I bet he retires and goes to school.
But as they said, I mean, the guy runs a 4.3. How do you just put that away? How do you just say, you know what? I'm not going to do anything with this 4.3 that I have. I'm just going to go be a doctor.
You were moved by the hug.
Oh, I was moved by the hug. Just like Shane said, how could you not be anybody thinking about that? Like, because they show her in the stands. And honestly, like early on in the episode, I was like, all right, we're doing the Ian Wheeler thing again. But then when the injury occurs and then he goes down there and his mom is waiting for him, then I was like, okay.
And then the child that was sitting nearby is like, I'm gonna say a prayer for him. You know, that was like, whoa, you know, like that's intense stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, it was impossible not to be moved by that moment. And the longer the hug went on, then you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the real stuff right there. And that's a mom that is hurting for her child. And I almost felt like Ian Wheeler was trying to comfort his mom as much as he was being comforted by his mother.
You know, they find a way, don't they? We spent so much time before Hard Knocks began talking about who was going to be the breakout story or who was going to be the emotional story, you know, and all those different kinds of things. And nobody had Ian Wheeler.
No.
Nobody had that. But when you think about it, this is, you know, a really smart kid from an HBCU, undrafted, with incredible tools, the 4.3 speed like you're talking about, a legit shot to make this team. Ended up being a competitive storyline between him and Velus Jones.
Time to channel the inner ferret.
Yes. They do love them some Velus Jones Jr.
Velus's story about him and Michael Pittman Jr. rolling up in South Central to pick up a ferret that they found on Craigslist.
Shady.
Dude.
Awesome.
When that happened in real life last week, and we were doing a 24-hour radiothon for cancer research, I literally texted in the show thread, how are we not going to do a segment on the ferret?
Shane, book the ferret. I bet he had cancer. Can ferrets get cancer?
He caught ferret cancer.
Oh, man. This is the beauty of
it's a particularly tough kind, by the way.
The beauty
No, I just checked. I just took the temperature. Still can't make cancer jokes.
You know how players say that they block everything out?
And you won't stop from trying those weeks.
Oh, no, man. We did them leading up, and then there was like one in the middle of it, which was tough for a lot of people. And then you try on the back end. Nope, we got to stay away. But I'll keep trying. Yes, Tanny. I'm sorry. Back to your ferret content.
Yeah. Valus Jones Jr. actually does have, I believe, he does have the superpower. Caleb doesn't get nervous. I honestly believe that Valus Jones Jr. blocks out everything ever that has been said about him, or he reads and it doesn't bother him, because he is, but I'll just tell you, I'll take you guys into the locker room.
Please do.
Valus Jones Jr. is probably the most available guy every single day of open locker room.
You remember when we talked to him and he said he was, like, he was incredibly good.
He was awesome.
And fun.
Yes.
On the, what was the name of that show? God, I forget. What was his? I forget his name.
Hampton Holmes.
Yeah, that's what it was. He was great. Villas was great. We're like, oh man, this guy gonna be a friend of the show. Gonna be super fun. And there he is, having his moment with the ferret stories everywhere.
Absolutely. And he can go in, and he loves to talk college football. Still watches every single Tennessee game. But you can go up to Villas and talk to him about absolutely anything, including football, including him fumbling a ball, and he'll just sit there and give you 5 minutes on it.
Incredible. Like, yeah. I like him as a character. I like him as a ball carrier in any form. I just don't like, everything else about him. No, I like when he has the ball.
Oh, when he's holding on to the ball.
It's just he has trouble catching it. He has trouble holding on to it.
That moment with Flus after Valus scores the touchdown, and Flus just goes, "That's just pure coaching." And he just starts laughing. That was so awesome.
I love it when Flus throws a little comedy in there. No doubt about it. But yeah, man, here's
Wheeler ends up being this incredible storyline. Is the thing.
They loved Austin Reed, obviously. He seemed to be featured in some way, shape, or form in just about every episode. Mm-hmm. One of the other things, too, low key, that they seem to be pushing, and maybe this came from the Bears, is Matt Eberflus coaching Caleb Williams. In every single episode, they have made a point of showing Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams one-on-one and Flus doing the coaching. Now, from what I understand, Flus will be more involved in the offense than I think he was with Justin Fields, so it could be genuine, some of it, but it's interesting that we don't see more Shane Waldron coaching up Caleb Williams. It's always Matt Eberflus.
There's a lot there, because the Bears have obviously wielded their influence on Hard Knocks on a number of levels. No cursing, we know that. There's Kevin Warren in his office last week with the stadium stuff. And obviously the Matt Eberflus glow up highlighted heavily in the first episode, and there's the Eberflus family.
The party.
In every episode. Yes, the pool party at the beginning.
The Gatsby party, yeah.
The daughters watching the games and everything. And yes, they're trying to show that Matt Eberflus is not just like some defensive coach lunkhead. He's the head coach, and not just an overseer either, can have an impact on the offense.
He's had an image problem. He has.
Right. But, and this is part of helping him outgrow it. But, let's talk a little bit more about this, because I think there's an angle there that actually makes some sense in terms of Eberflus being able to coach Caleb in ways that he wasn't able to coach Fields. And we can hear from Matt Eberflus a little bit earlier in the day on Caleb and some other things. At 670 The Score, it's Spiegs and Mark Grody. We will get back to that incredible Cubs win and where things stand with their Cubs playoff chances. They scored 11 runs in the final three innings, so we will get back to that for sure. But also Ryan Poles is speaking today as well. So lots to come. Spiegs and Grody on the afternoon show here on The Score.
Really good job finishing off the preseason the right way. That's all the way, everybody from the top all the way to the guys that are trying to make the football team. You all did a great job with that. I really appreciate you.
Matt Eberflus from Hard Knocks last night. It's Spiegs and Mark Grody here on 670 The Score. And we were talking about Grody's observation of seeing Flus. You like it a Flus? Talking to Caleb in each episode. So yeah, obviously a manicured production, a Bears influenced production, and they do want the head coach to look good. But I'll say this, Justin Fields' battles last year were so much about the quarterback play, specifically in terms of his mechanics and his choices and his evolution or not in learning how to play the position. It was a quarterback coach task to try and get Justin Fields to do what he needed to do. It was an offensive coordinator task to get Justin Fields to do what he needed to do. Caleb Williams is so far along as a quarterback that really, some of the discussions that they can have are so much more elevated from a head coach's perspective in terms of, like, this is what we want to do to a defense. Of all the things you could do, all the plays we could run, the stuff that you're going to see, the kind of offense we want to be, oh, by the way, here's how defenses are going to attack you. It is so much higher of a floor of conversation that I can understand a head coach having conversations with Caleb much easier than I would a head coach, defensive head coach like Eberflus, having conversations with Justin. Like, if the comp is Tony Dungy helping Peyton Manning pick apart a defense as a defensive head coach, that's much easier to imagine with Caleb than it is with Justin.
From what I understand from out at Hallis Hall, when Fields was here, Flus was not a big part of it. Like, he was not in the meetings and things like that. He deferred to his offensive staff to take care of that. And obviously, with the play calling and being essentially the defensive coordinator for most of last year, he was all about the defense. Now, I don't know if Matt Eberflus has made this change of being around the offense more because of the failings of Justin Fields, and Matt Eberflus wants to be around a little bit more to see what's going on, to see how he's being coached, and to also coach him more. But they are definitely, at least Hard Knocks, force that on us, I thought, in terms of the one, like, and not as much Shane Waldron, not as much Kerry Washington. All of those guys have made appearances, but definitely, and maybe it is real, maybe it is, but I feel like it's a little bit contrived.
I just think they're different projects. They're completely different teaching projects, and so I understand a head coach being more involved. But let's hear the Flus from earlier today. This is Matt Eberflus talking about the roster cuts and what they've got now with the first 53, and talking about Caleb Williams.
The next 2 days, we get a chance to have our team together here and really go through the rhythm and flow of an in-season Wednesday and an in-season Thursday. I think it's important to be able to do that with a young quarterback, with the offense that's going through it for the first time, and us going through it together. So we'll get the show team looks and all the things that we do on an in-season Wednesday and Thursday. So it's good. Just got out of the walkthrough 5 minutes ago or so. That was a good process as well. Just wanted to go back and really thank the guys for a really good training camp and all the players that participated in it. And, of course, you guys saw we had to let many of those guys go here in the last 24 to 48 hours. And that's always a difficult time. I got a chance to see those guys and thank them for their hard work and their efforts during that time as well. But as you also saw, we put some guys to IR and designated for return. You know, Borum and Martin was designated for return, and Scales is going to IR. So question will be about the long snapper. That's coming, and we feel really good about where we are. And Ryan will be up here to talk in more depth about that as we get going here around 4 or 4:30, I believe, with y'all. But and we also expect Kari Blessing game back. So that's another thing that we expect back. That's a positive as well, obviously. And we just had to work through that. But other than that, we'll open up to questions.
Matt, as you transition to the regular season with Caleb, from your chair as a defensive-minded head coach with a really good defense and a competitive roster, how will you sort of balance the patience with letting Caleb kind of spread his wings and develop as a young quarterback without compromising the chance to win games on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I really think it comes down to play design. You know, I'm just going to micro it down to actually to the play. You know, so we all know what he can do in terms of his arm talent, in terms of throwing on the move and those types of things. But, you know, in the early parts of the game and early downs, you know, he's just asked to play point guard, you know, have a great operation, play point guard, get the ball to our skill, either by handing it off or throwing it to him and letting them do the running and moving around and gaining the yards. And it's going to be big that our offensive line plays well, like I've said in the past, and everybody plays well around him. That's defense and special teams included. So, and then when you get to the point in the game where it is a critical down or a third down or in the red zone or whatever that might be, then you might see X factor come out, and that's where it is. But again, he's just about the process of getting in and out of the huddle, being smooth, and operating the offense.
What have you guys done to prepare him for the challenge that is climbing the mountain during the regular season? And is there a way to fully
prepare him, or do you kind of have to live it a little bit?
Yeah, the process that we just talked about, going through the in-season. So we've already done it once. You know, we went with cards and stuff we're doing today, but we did it, already did it one time, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're going back again through it again to go through the process of it. And it's going to be a rhythm of these first 6 weeks. You know, we're on 7-day schedules this whole time for a better part of the first part of the season. So he'll get a good rhythm to that. And really, it's just about that process going through. And we've already walked him through it a couple times in terms of what he does on Monday after the game, Tuesday when we're game planning, and then Wednesday all the way through Saturday. In the quarterback room, in terms of supporting and being involved and engaged there, and we think he's got a bright future.
Matthew, as you guys, last one, Josh. You guys came into the weekly grind of being an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. What part of that weekly process are you most interested to see how he handles it?
After the first game. You know, so after the first game, this first game is going to be, you know, it's a little abnormal because you got a lot of time to prepare. So it's not really a normal NFL week. But after that first game, be on a reset, right? Whatever happened, look at the performance and then go ahead and, self-reflect, meet with me, meet with Shane. What can I improve on? What did I do well? And then be able to reset and then go to the next week. That's the biggest part that you have to do in the NFL because it happens fast. You don't have time to, you know, you got time to reflect a little bit, but then you got to move on to the next week, going on to Tuesday, and then through that normal week, which will be the second week. So I'm excited about that.
Man, we all want to meet with Shane. That's for damn sure. Here's the thing. This is a very different kind of job for Matt Eberflus. This is now a big boy football team with legit playoff aspirations, and the operations of everything and how the quarterback is going to go through it, it is more relevant to the head coach than it was last year, because this team should be in the game with a chance to win every damn week right now. And that was not the case last year. We're trying to figure things out and see if the quarterback can make the leap and put together a defense. It is a completely different ball game. And he sounds like a coach who knows how to function within this sort of construct.
It puts Flus under the correct microscope all of a sudden.
Yes!
Because the first 2 years, he didn't have a chance. He really didn't. So now you've got a real roster. The pressure changes for Matt Eberflus. It's all here for him.
He was a mouthpiece for a thing that was building that was out of his control, frankly. It was a Ryan Poles rebuild project that he was presiding over, and the front man to discuss it was him, but it was an awkward fit.
Yeah.
And we saw it. Now he's the coach of a football team that is built to compete right the hell now, and it makes a lot more sense.
You know what I low-key didn't like him saying just now?
What's that?
Was that he wants, and it sounds good, that he wants Caleb Williams to be the point guard, which is right. Like, you want to get the ball to your playmakers and let your playmakers make plays, and that was something that Justin Fields always uttered. But guess who I want to see making the plays?
Oh, man, this guy can actually do it.
Yes.
Hitting the layups,
yes,
and doing the easy stuff.
So maybe early on, yeah, I get that. Just get the ball to your playmakers.
Oh, man.
No, I want to see Caleb Williams being the playmaker.
You will by necessity. By necessity.
I think you're right.
But he doesn't have to force it.
No, he doesn't have to force
it. There's a life lesson in that. Just show up and let the thing be good, and your natural ability is going to come through. Your playmaking is going to come through. It's an exciting time to be a Bears fan. You heard from Caleb Williams, then you heard from Matt Eberflus, and now you hear from Ryan Poles. The Score has you covered with every important voice. Poles on the cuts, on the roster, on the quarterback, on the season. A big piece of it right now in moments on the Score.
I know there's a ton of misinformation out there.
That's why we're going to let the man speak himself. It's the Score Afternoon Show. Matt Spiegel and Mark Grody here with you today. And you heard from Caleb Williams last hour. You heard from Matt Eberflus last hour. And now you get to hear from the big boss himself, the man behind the rebuild, the dude sitting extremely pretty, who also showed a beautifully human side of himself last night on Hard Knocks with Ian Wheeler at the end of that guy's Bears run in terms of health this year. And it was an interesting episode. But Ryan Poles spoke today about the cutdowns that got us to the first 53 of this Bears roster just a few minutes ago, and this is how it began. Ryan Poles on the cuts here on the Score.
So in terms of training camp,
want to just say thank you to our players for the time and effort that they've put in. I thought they've done a really good job. They came in with intent to get better, improve, build chemistry. And I thought you could see that through the duration of training camp this year. I want to thank our coaches and really all of our staff. We really press hard on development. And I thought there were some really cool situations where you saw guys come in as either, you know, a raw rookie or, you know, someone that wasn't playing to the standard of what we needed. And then by the end of training camp, they were in the conversation of making the roster, which is always good to see. Also want to thank our performance team, and really that's the alignment with Coach Flus. Our rate of missed practices dropped significantly for the first 2 years. And obviously with availability, that allows people to improve and get better and build that chemistry that we talk about. Also want to thank our front office. You can really see every part of player acquisition, if it's the draft, undrafted free agency at the very highest level to guys just coming in for opportunity at the, you know, minimum. They were in the mix and really, again, applied pressure when it came to making the roster. And really this year, by far, from the first 3 years, was the most difficult time whittling this thing down to 53. We had some really good discussions, a lot of back and forth, constantly talking about, you know, worrying about today, but also looking into the future. Because we're always looking not only just now, but also what's the roster going to look like? What are the situations? Not, you know, 1, 2, 3 years from now. So had really good conversations there, which was good. I think the other thing that I really learned this year is when you're intentional bringing in the right type of people, when you invest in relationships, you invest in time and bonding and creating this group and this culture, it makes cut down day extremely hard, emotional. Because you care about the guys and you want to see them be successful, but you know at the end of the day there's business decisions that have to happen, and you got to get this thing down to a 53-man roster, which was difficult. But I'm really proud of where we are to kick this season off. Significant improvements, which again makes me proud of the work that we've done here as an entire organization. In terms of transactions that have happened the last 2 hours, Kari's back on board, is in the building, and Patrick Scales is going to be on IR until he heals up. So I'll open it to questions.
Brian, we look at the receiving room and the way you overhauled that in the time you've been here. You got here, it was pretty bare. You had Moon, not much else. His production kind of dipped. You took the swing and miss on a trade, and now you got the room that you have now, whereas maybe 2 years ago, you couldn't find four guys you felt really good about. Now you feel like you maybe only need four guys. You know what I mean? How do you go about overhauling that, and how do you feel about that process?
Yeah, I think the big thing is there's a level of patience in there. One, because when you approach it different, if it's free agency or the draft, we really try to do the best available. And I remember that first year, that was a big question. Were you going to get a receiver? Were you going to get a receiver? And we didn't have the first round pick, and we end up with Brisker and Kyler. And really, we felt like that was the best available, and we knew that it was going to take time to really get all the pieces. And there's still space for us to improve as well. So we're just kind of in this kind of second phase of things. But really patience, letting the board kind of talk to us, and then being opportunistic, you know, with the trade, drafting Rome. There's a lot of cool things that happen. So, and we used every different kind of way to acquire that talent, which is great.
We saw Keenan was on the bike today. Is there any concern about his health?
No. He had last week like a cleat issue, so some discomfort in his foot, but he should be fine.
Brian, as you evaluate the season and look to measure success, is it playoffs in your mind? Is that the ultimate measure for you? Or do you look at the roster development side more so and say that's kind of the priority for this year?
No, like, obviously that's my priority. Let's get the roster in the best shape possible, because that's going to give us the opportunity to win games. But it's always going to be to win championships, to win the division, win Super Bowls. That's always the goal. Obviously getting into the playoffs and winning playoff games would be outstanding. But I think the biggest thing is, like, can we take that big jump from where we were last year to this year? And I think we're capable of doing that.
That 53-man roster, from what you inherited, what are you most proud of about this group and how they've come together?
Yeah, I'm proud of I'm proud of the process that we've set up. It's not just about acquiring the best talent, it's about acquiring the right talent. And I think that's what you see in this building. I think it's special. Like the group of guys, it's really special. I know I've talked a lot about that, but even when you go through cutdown days and you're letting guys go and they're like, man, I just want to be here. Like I can feel it. I want to be a part of this thing. So it's not like I always look at it and I'm excited about it. But when you hear from people inside the building, but also outside, it kind of makes you feel really good about the progress that you've made. But a lot of hard work, a lot of time in developing the process so that it's sustainable.
Brian, as you've continued both your relationship with Matt and your evaluation of him, what's left the strongest impression on you about how he's handled the last 8 months from overhauling the coaching staff to now getting this team ready to go into the regular season?
Yeah, I think his resilience for where our roster was and for how far we knew it had to go to set a standard and hold everybody to that is extremely difficult. To keep a team together through adversity is extremely difficult. But I think at the end of the day, that's going to be awesome. Is like those things will be established. And then when the winning comes, you have a stronger product because of it. And so really, I really look at the resilience piece of it. It's so hard with pressure to stay the course. When you want to be, you know, there's a lot of noise in terms of doing different things and changes and all that, but to hold the line is, it takes a special man to do that. And he's done that. And then just the ability to adapt and adjust. You can see that on a daily basis. Now I'm always trying to get better, taking the feedback from players. You know, what do we need to change? What do we need to adjust? What are you guys seeing? How are you feeling? And then making the tweaks. That relationship has been incredible. And then I probably had a third thing is it's kind of coming to me, but just investing in relationships. He's had every single person on our team over at his house to spend time there, to get to know them better. There's activities and things that he did, but that was done intentionally. That wasn't just to do it and check a box. It was to really invest in our players and build that trust because you need that.
You got a number of guys banged up on the offensive line today. We saw Bill Murray go off. How comfortable are you with the depth you have at that position?
This is the best depth I've ever had. Actually let one of the guys go on cutdowns and was like, man, you did an excellent job. I wish, you know, we could keep you here. He's like, this is the deepest room I've ever been a part of. So we have more versatility, more depth. We got 10 guys. So I feel comfortable. Obviously you want your starting five to be healthy and ready to go, but I feel more confident in the depth of our line than I ever have before.
Brian, we've seen a lot from Caleb on the field, but in the building, what have you seen to be the effect of his personality, of his social skills, ability to relate with others?
Yeah, it's fairly natural. It's not forced. I think that's one thing, and we've all been in teams before, but like there's people that come into those situations and they try too hard, and it's like, man, that's awkward. You know, it's hard to buy into that. And then there's guys that just they can navigate that so naturally because they're authentic and it's real. And that's what he's done. And then on top of that, just as a professional player, like you have to perform. You got to do some things that guys are like, okay, like there's something different about you. And then pair that with a good natural, just good social skills. Some cool things happen and leadership starts to blossom, and that's what you see now.
What do you expect from him this year?
I expect him to – it's a great question. I want him to lean on the talent around him, and then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And – balancing that, and then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where he's at his best, and I think he has that just from studying him and watching years of tape on him. He has that ability, and so I think that's kind of the big thing is just lean on the guys around him, be instinctual, let those wild plays happen at the right time. I mean, we saw it in the preseason a little bit. This can be important.
Sorry, back to the O-line.
Yeah.
How good can that Unit B. You made some moves this offseason. I don't think you can point at it and say you put a ton of resources into it. But how good can that group be?
I think that group can be really good. In terms of investing in it, I mean, Darnell was a first-round pick. We traded for Bates, who has versatility, paid Nate, who obviously needs to continue to work on just the dependability and consistency. Coleman Shelton's been a great addition. He's a glue guy for the up front. His ability to get everybody on the same page and then execute at a high level has been really good. I think Braxton's improved, and Tevin is playing his best ball too. So I think that group has the ability to be special. And as the season goes along, and the beautiful thing is all those guys strain. And you can see that in the preseason too, just trying to keep Caleb clean. It's important to him, and it's a really strong knit group, so it's good.
Brian, I'm pretty sure we've seen you on the field kind of mimicking Caleb's throwing motion.
You never seen that.
I don't know what else you could have possibly been doing with that.
Yeah.
Was it fun for you? Was it a fun training camp for you to see this guy that you had scouted for so long and drafted and then brought here and then watching it in person?
Yeah, it's fun. But I don't know. I can't ever let my mind go too far down that road. It's always about improving. But it's good to see. Anytime you draft a player because of what you saw from college, and you see some of those things transfer over to the pro game, that gets you excited. If it's the other way, it scares the crap out of you. You know, it's like, where did that guy go? And we haven't had that with really any of our draft picks. Everybody has been as advertised or if not better.
Right. As you try to grow Caleb into a quarterback who can be a game-winning quarterback with the game on the line, from your lens, what separates the best quarterbacks in this league in terms of the ones that are consistently productive in the fourth quarter?
I think it's really, I kind of say it's like their heartbeat. Like, does their heartbeat skyrocket in those pressure situations, or do you see this like calm? And we're not going to know until we're in it in terms of the pro side of it. But that's what I look for. I want the game to slow down, there to be a level of poise. And again, I'll go back to it's that same combination of taking what a defense gives you, leaning on your talent, and then when you're forced to be special.
What did you experience with Patrick through that lens in terms of when you realized that he was that guy in Kansas City and in terms of what it did for the entire organization?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I know there's a lot of comparisons out there, but I don't know what Patrick's rookie year would have looked like. But I know in year two, you saw exactly that when the pressure went up, he was calm. And then when it was time to do something special, he was able to do it and connect. But I also think, you know, we probably don't talk about it enough. He really gave opportunities for special players to be special. And I think that's what took it over the edge.
Man, a ton there from Ryan Poles, the boss of the Bears, at the end of training camp when cuts have been made. Practice squad has been filled earlier today. Some players come back to the active roster. You're listening to The Score. It's the afternoon show with me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Mark Grody. There's a ton of ways to go on this, and we want to talk about it with you at 312-644-6767. A willful Patrick Mahomes comp to a question there at the end. And the dream for Ryan Poles is that Caleb does what he saw Mahomes do, which was be calm under pressure and put his teammates in good positions. Put Tyreek Hill in position to do a lot with the ball by hitting him in stride, and that's what he wants Caleb Williams to do. A million different ways to go, Grody, but the way that Ryan Poles talked about Caleb Williams, it hit both of us as we're sitting here listening right between the eyes.
I like the way Poles said it better than the way Eberflus said it. Eberflus talked about him being a point guard. Get it to your playmakers, let them make plays. I countered with, no, I want to see the quarterback make the special plays. Poles said, lean on the talent, then when the time is right, do the special. And he even said, sometimes it's going to get out of whack. Those were Poles' exact words. Sometimes it will, but I like that enabling, because I don't want it to be in his brain, Caleb's brain, that he has to be conservative. And I get it. Like, early on, you don't want to go crazy and let everything out. But the fact that Poles wants to see exactly what we want to see. We don't need another quarterback manager in this town. So let him continue to do the special when it works.
Absolutely. And it's like Emmett in the Lego movie talking about being the special. Like, he was the special, but he just had to, like, do the normal stuff and do the little stuff, and then you become the special. Sorry, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
I haven't seen the Lego.
Oh, it's so good. But anyway, the idea of Caleb just being able to fit in and use the talent around him and then let the goodness happen when it will naturally, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, right now is such a good moment for Ryan Poles, because everything seems to make sense. Hell, the way that he talked about Eberflus, how when they start to win, it's all going to be stronger because it's built on a good foundation. Even that makes sense right now. Are we in such a good place in terms of Poles and the Bears because they haven't played, because it's all conceptual, because it's all off-season stuff that they have absolutely destroyed? Are we way out over our skis with optimism because we haven't seen them get their ass kicked, even for a drive or two in a game of consequence in so many months?
I mean, that's probably true, but Poles did say, can we make the big jump? I think we're capable of it. And what have all of us been doing? Everybody that I've talked to, the minimum, it feels like, amount of wins that people are projecting on the Bears, at least in this town and probably even nationally,
yes,
is 9. Like, that's the low number, it feels like. I haven't heard anybody go below 9 in terms of how many games the Bears will win this year. And Paul said it right there. He's like us. He thinks this team is capable of making the jump, which would be a team that is over 500 and good.
Yeah, that was a money quote. I agree. Quote, take that big jump.
Yes.
Unquote. That's how he's measuring it. But we can measure it in more specific ways. We'll take your phone calls and texts at 312-644-6767 as we talk about what Ryan Poles just had to say about the team, about Caleb, what the expectations are, about the roster where it is, about Coach Flus. Dial it up and get involved on The Score with me, Spiegs, and him, Mark Grody. It's Spiegs and Mark Grody here on 670 The Score, having some fun hanging out with you on your Wednesday afternoon. We got Shane, we got Tanny. If you missed Caleb Williams, you can go back on the Odyssey Rewind function, the Rewind on the Odyssey app, and hear it. Tanny's open with all the prints in there as the comp was delightful. I'm not sure Caleb got it. I'm not sure that Caleb realized that it was complimentary and loving towards both Prince and Caleb. He's used to being just a having to defend that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's not who we are, man.
He, you know, give him some time. He'll start to figure. He probably will go back. If he didn't get it, he will in a little bit. He'll go, what was all that Prince stuff about? And hopefully somebody in media relations can remember it and tell him about
it. I don't think he kissed the ring nearly enough, Tanny. This is your town.
So there was much discussion about this, on this side of the glass as that interaction was occurring, and he did not acknowledge the open, but yeah. I told Shane, I reminded him, Justin Fields says his open gave him chills when he first came on the show.
Oh boy, so we don't want that.
So yeah, maybe we don't want that, and maybe we want someone like, would Tom Brady be overly nice about his production? You know,
there's only one way to find out. Shane, book Tom Brady.
Right. I will do that. And Caleb Williams, if you missed our conversation with Caleb Williams from earlier and you want to listen back in the show, you can go back and listen with the Rewind feature. Something you can only do in the Odyssey app. Search 670 The Score and tap earlier today to get started.
That's how you do it.
Oh, that's how you do it.
No, you said audacity.
We want a quarterback that'll just expect that kind of treatment, right?
Yeah.
Who's not impressed or wowed. You know, he's like, all right, yeah, that's the standard. Yeah.
Right. Tell you what, Tanny, go ahead, try another open for him. I will bring it out to Hallis Hall, and I will play it for him. You like this one? Do you get it?
Do it during a press conference?
Yeah.
Caleb, baked potato? Baked potato?
Caleb, how are you? I'm the guy who told you to drop the duh your duh Bears say Bears.
Just got it. Simple Bears. I'm just trying to make his life easier. He doesn't have time for the duh.
Yeah, and now that I'm thinking about it, we shouldn't have done Caleb today. We should have just done Tevin again.
That's true.
We we didn't need him.
Sure.
Well, let me see.
Tevin probably would have loved his open.
What's with the no Tevin on Hard Knocks, really? I mean, he's just in some of the shots, but are you talking to him much?
It's too easy.
Wow.
It's too easy. No, HBO didn't want to take the easy way out. Just put on the most entertaining.
Grody, are you distracting Tevin from being on the Hard Knocks camera?
I think what happened is they're like, we can't do better than what Grody has done with Tevin Jenkins in the past, right? Whether my multiple interviews with him, my multiple conferences, they're like, we cannot top that. So I get
like,
it.
I know it's a rookie's thing, but I'm kind of disappointed that Tevin didn't make the Woodman's run.
Oh, he would have had a blast.
Oh, that would have been so much content.
I'm sad we didn't have Hard Knocks when Tevin went to Home Depot to get Christmas. That would have been a freaking
Now
bonanza.
Would be the time to do it, too. They're on sale. Get them right now. Send Tevin out. Grody, by the way, are you leaving something out? Did you do something to Tevin? Because normally he would be like very receptive of my text messages. But now when I text him, if I need like him to come on the show randomly, it's like I'm watching the baby. Watching the baby.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so I think he associates us with you and you might have done something.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I could go back and listen to the interview that Weider and I did with him. I don't think we turned him off in any way.
Okay.
No. But I have not had, like, because we don't have open locker room right now, I have not had one-on-one time with Tevin Jenkins since the OTA started.
Okay.
So Shane, I'll find out. Though.
Shane,
find
try
out.
To bribe him. Send him a Wendy's gift card.
Okay.
I mean, that should work. Take Justin is in Plainfield, wants to join us and talk about Ryan Poles and everything that we heard, that 13 minutes of exquisite, exquisite football genius from the current man of the moment in this town. What's up, Justin?
Hey, I did appreciate the Lego movie Emmett reference, by the way.
Right? The special, man. Speaking of Grody, the guy needs to have kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I tried to block out most of Bears history because it's been so bad, but under Emery and Pace and Angelo, it always felt like they're comfortable with beating the Packers, and like that was the end goal. And Lovey said, we're going to beat the Packers. And my biggest takeaway from that whole press conference was he had a chance to kind of get away when they said, what's your expectations if we lose in the playoffs? And him saying championships, it just kind of gave me that feel when the Cubs went from lovable loser to Theo, and immediately it was like, no, championships are the expectation. And it's just so refreshing to hear that. And just curious on your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
This is why for any professional team, you go outside the organization and you go grab somebody really smart from a place that has done it before. It's a tale as old as time. And frankly, it's why so many of us went ballistic the last five times that Jerry Reinsdorf has hired somebody from inside the house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To run the White Sox. Like, what are you doing? That's not how you do it. You do this, and if it doesn't work, you do it again. And then if that doesn't work, you do it again. Go get somebody very smart from a brilliant organization, give them the keys and say, please do what you have seen work to the best of your ability. And Ryan Poles is building what he saw Andy Reid and Brett Veach and others put together in Kansas City. And now he has found, through the magic of that Bryce Young trade and Lovey Smith's incredible work with the Texans to lose, to help them win that extra game, he has found his Pat Mahomes to be the cherry on top of the sundae. But clearly what he's been building here is trying to build a culture and collect people. Look, the way that they talk about the humans that they've compiled, Mark Grody, Flew said the other day, they only get guys with good motors. That's all we do, is we go at guys with good motors. Cole Kmet talking about the specialness of all the different players. Everything the polls said. Kyler Gordon saying the chemistry is uncommon, right? It's like, clearly they are targeting the right kinds of humans to build what they want to build, and now they've got the quarterback to go with it.
I think that other GMs that the Bears have said similar things, but they haven't been able to accomplish it. Like, officially now, at this point, ahead of this season, Ryan Poles has had more pluses than minuses in terms of what, on paper, the Bears have built. I mean, if you want to go back to, like, Larry Ogunjobi, I don't think that was a big mistake, but that was an injury. The guy that they initially wanted to be their three technique. Obviously, Chase Claypool was a big mistake. And the only other area right now that I look at Ryan Poles critically is the center position, because they have the Lucas Patrick signing was not good. Sam Mustipher was not going to be your center, nor was Cody Whitehair. We'll see about Coleman Shelton. And by the way, Ryan Bates, practiced today. So I don't know if this is a ramp-up period for Ryan Bates and if he could potentially be ready for week one. I doubt it. I do think it's going to be Nate Davis as your starting right guard and Coleman Shelton as the center. But the fact that Ryan Bates is back practicing is really good because we didn't know anything about the injury. I was starting to think it might be serious for Bates. Apparently, it's not that serious if he was out there practicing today. And I kind of believe what Poles is saying, that this might be the best depth that we've seen with the Bears and even predating Ryan Poles in terms of the actual depth on this offensive line right now.
The caller's point about it feeling like, you know, pre-World Series Cubs and Theo Epstein, a texter said it yesterday too, comparing that feeling. And obviously that's the most recent feeling in this town of like when, oh, wait, I think they, are we great? I think we might be great. Is it possible? Is this going to happen? And just having it be different than the past history where you're used to so much disappointment. The difference in football is that it almost always can't happen unless you have the quarterback.
Let me ask you a question.
And this time, they got the quarterback.
Do you think right now Detroit and Green Bay are better than the Bears? I do.
I do.
Think right now, I mean, you can't.
I do.
Yeah, Jordan Love scares the hell out of me just because of what he did in the Dallas, or what the Packers did in the Dallas game when they go on in the playoffs.
Jordan Love is a really, really good quarterback who learned a lot of the stuff that Caleb was talking about Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love learned it and is now doing it. It's funny you bring up Jordan Love. Jordan Love earlier today was talking about the Bears. Jordan Love is somebody to fear, and apparently he loves beating the Bears.
Favorite team to play against? Good question. I'll say the Bears. Two.
Yo, are you looking to become the new owner of the Bears or what?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Favorite team to play against the Bears and hopes to continue the Green Bay ownership.
It is on. I had not heard that yet. I love that he said that. Now, you know who I'm going right to next time? I'm going right to Jaquan Brisker with this. Right to Brisker, because remember, Brisker just had no respect for the Packers. When the Packers beat the Bears' asses last year in the final game of the season, after the game,
yeah.
I and a few other reporters listened to Jaquan Brisker tear apart the Green Bay Packers and saying that he's got no respect for their wide receivers, and he wasn't stopping. So I'm taking the... Tanny, I'm going to need that audio for Brisker as well.
Yeah, remember, too, they were talking about the game plan against their receivers in general. They didn't love the game plan the day after the game they were talking about.
Hey, man, right. I thought of that during Poles when Poles said that Matt Eberflus takes the feedback. Yeah, Brisker talked about it. We talked about it with Jalen Johnson that next time we had him on about exactly that. They're like, come on, let us man up on these wide receivers. Let us try to shove them around instead of laying off of them.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And he's just thinking because these are not big name receivers for the Packers that Brisker's all over them. But that's the problem. They're not big name guys. And yet Jordan Love is making them look good and beat the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite a moment. It is quite a moment here. And Jordan Love, he has no idea what he just did.
Oh, no, he doesn't. But I like that he did it. Oh. It's on. The game is the game. And it is open now, man. It is fair game now to push the Bears-Packers rivalry and in a genuine way. Did y'all hear what Jordan Love is saying out there?
Yeah,
he wants ownership.
Uh-huh.
He wants to invest in the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
How you feeling about that, George McCaskey? How you feeling?
Yeah,
I might ask George about that.
It's just too bad that Les Grobstein isn't around to comment on
God.
This, you know,
the puke green and the urine yellow. A lot of people can't KMA to Jordan Love and any of their other quarterbacks of the past. I go back to Eddie Lee Iver. Well, he was a running back. A lot of people thought he should have been a quarterback. Grobber is watching.
He's
he's
always
Grobber would have just gone off,
devoured.
Oh
that.
My God,
Jordan Love a lock.
Jordan
to win.
Love more like Jordan hate.
He would have been a lock to win, and for that, you suck.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight.
Just. Oh, my God.
And also, bum of the week.
Bum of the year? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, you want ownership? I got something I want to sell you right now. It's my fist.
Some of you Packer fans are classy, but for some of you obnoxious scumbags, I got one thing.
You know what that is? That's bull porn material. Oh, excuse me, God. Bulletin board material. Bulletin
that board. Was also off the air.
Oh, it was?
Nobody understands what you're saying.
I forgot it was off the air. Oh, that's the God. Way we roll around here. Sometimes the on-the-air stuff, it feels just like the off-the-air stuff.
Grody, what do you think about bull porn for pirates?
Oh, yeah. They were right down the hallway. They were in the alternate studio, actually, right next to Pirates for Porno. Or Porno for Pirates. Uh-huh. Pirates for... There are four porno those pirates are.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Hey, that Perry Farrell, different kind of feral, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Porno for pirates. Yeah, I did say that.
A lot of peg leg stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So hey, much peg leg material.
Jane's Addiction, come to the Aragon Ballroom.
Are they really?
Yeah, September.
Oh, wow.
Yep,
670 The Score is where you are. He's Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. He's got a comparison for me from a Bears team of the past. And did you guys hear what the Cubs did? We have to talk about this. Keep it here on The Score.
Area code 414. Again, this is a gloating Packer fan. And you know what? You know what all you can do? You can basically bend over, grab your ankles, and kiss your own rear end. Get comfortable sucking, Bear fans. Well, if you're a Packer fan, we don't give a darn what you say. If you are a Packer fan, your opinion means nothing. We don't care.
All right, Mark Grody, you've been teasing me with this comparison that you wanted to get to about the current Bears and a former Bears team from not that long ago, as a matter of fact. It's Spiegs and Grody on the Score Afternoon Show.
It's a little bit of a thought exercise, actually. So it's something I just came up with.
Thought exercise.
That's my thing, you know?
What side do you want me to take on this debate?
This is from a creation put on X by Mark Potash, and he writes, the 2024 Bears versus the 2021 Bears, several upgrades from GM Ryan Poles from the roster he inherited, especially at the top. That's what Potash writes. But I want to go through these guys, and we could quickly say whether or not it's an upgrade. This first one's going to be tough for you because I know you love Bilal Nichols, but at defensive tackle, Bilal Nichols versus Andrew Billings.
I'll take Billings.
Yep, Billings has been really good. Look, Bilal Nichols had a really good first couple of years in the league, but kind of faded away. Good player, though. He's going to be around for a long time. At defensive end, well, this says defensive end, but Hicks was not that. Akeem Hicks versus DeMarcus Walker on your team.
Hicks, yeah.
Big time, big time. Here's another tough one. Robert Quinn at defensive end versus the outside linebacker TJ Edwards.
That's
tough.
I mean, the way that Edwards is played, that was Quinn at the tail end. And with Edwards, the upside and the value of the contract, I'll actually go Edwards.
Yeah, well, Quinn did have, what was it, a 19 sack season?
I know.
That's hard for me to dismiss. But yeah, man, Tremaine Edmonds was one of the best players on your defense last year. How about Jack Sanborn versus Alec Ogletree?
I don't know. What are these comps? These are not. What is the comparison here?
Well,
I don't get it.
He's going the players that are here and the players that were not. You're right. Right. Is this more convoluted than I thought? Is it not making sense?
It's not making sense.
Okay. Abort. Abort.
I'll take Sanborn.
Yeah. How about Duke Shelley versus Kyler Gordon? That's a better one.
Yeah. I'll take Kyler Gordon.
Kyler Gordon. Tashaun Gibson versus Jaquan Brisker.
Oh, my God.
At safety.
Yeah, of course.
Eddie Speaks. How about Rachel Ray versus Winston Churchill? Which one?
Am I wrong, Shane, that this is insane?
Yeah, it is a little bit
and by the way,
convoluted.
I'm sorry. I'll take Rachel Ray. Churchill's lasagna was awful.
Truth.
Anytime Winston Churchill tried to do the 30-minute meal, not even close.
It took
an hour and a half.
Remember that one time? That one time he tried to make a chicken fricassee and instead he invaded Poland? You remember that?
Yeah.
Elijah,
thank God, by the way.
Elijah Wilkinson versus Doug Kramer.
I don't know. Doug Kramer made the team.
This is
he
did.
How about that?
They like it. I think they like
sure
Doug
they
Kramer.
Do?
Well, Doug Kramer,
I think he's going to get cut. As soon as Ryan Bates is ready to play, he's going to get cut.
Hey, Speaks, Willie Wilson versus Scarlett Johansson. Which one?
Well, George Brett drove in Scarlett Johansson one year 85 times.
Is
a great season.
Is
that the Willie Wilson you met? Or was it the other one? There's a lot
Kansas
of
City Royals.
No, like former Chicago mayor candidate.
Yeah, no, I thought you meant Kansas City Royals.
Scarlett's insane, like 480 OBP season, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Insane. She was on all the time.
Is Doug Kramer the new Nsimba Webster or Simba Webster of this team? Like, he always is going to be there during training camp, and then you won't see him again.
Yeah.
He walks out the door, never to be heard from again until the next training camp.
Hey, look, Simba Webster's back.
Marquise Goodwin versus DeAndre Carter. What do you think about
Marquis
that?
Marquis de Sade versus David Haw. I'll take David Haw myself.
Hey, speaks Vin Diesel versus Angela Merkel.
Oh, no.
Not Scott sister.
I love the Merkin family. Randy, Scott, and Angela.
Can you tell us the story of how you got Bilal Nichols on the show?
So here's the thing. Bilal Nichols, he was in a hotel, and I called it.
Oh, what?
He did.
Called the hotel, said, is Bilal there?
Uh-huh.
Bilal, you
Bilal,
there?
Are you there? All right, man. All right, man. So I mentioned it.
I'm sorry about this segment. I apologize.
What are you apologizing
I should have known potash.
This is the best segment of the day. It's a show. We had Caleb Williams on. We heard from Matt Eberflus. We played 12 minutes of Ryan Poles, and this is the best thing we've done all day.
Real question. Daz Newsome versus Velus Jones.
Oh, boy, that's tough. Well, Daz, I choose Daz because he told us that Harold's was bussing.
That's right.
That's why I choose Daz.
Boy, did we
actually
love him.
Actually had Harold's chicken. It was bussing.
It was bussing.
We overloved Daz Newsome, man.
I wanted him to make the team
so
bad.
He was a fifth-round pick in Darnell Mooney.
I thought his draft selection was bussing myself.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was.
Well, we all thought, Darnell Mooney was a fifth-round pick, and he was really good. Daz Newsome's a fifth-round pick. He's got to be really good.
For anybody who missed it, the Cubs went up 3-1 on the Pirates and Paul Skeens today. Then the defense collapsed, and Kyle Hendricks got yanked in the second, and the Cubs were down 6-3. Then they were down 10-3. And then they scored 11 runs in the final three innings of the game. An outrageous comeback with six in the ninth and swept the Pirates with a 14-10 win. They've won 9 of 12 since Danny Parkins left the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a coincidence.
It's
not. The weight that has been lifted off Craig Counsell's shoulders is clearly massive.
Yes, I heard the interview.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you heard it.
No doubt.
That's why I thought Gabe's debut was spectacular.
Yeah, he did. I heard that too.
Mark Grody, great job, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. By the way, I can tell you this, that baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Tomorrow is going to be must listen on the afternoon show. I'm so excited about this. First of all, Dan Bernstein is going to be sticking around and doing a double because he's like that. So it's Spiegs and Bernstein. But then I can tell you, there is going to be somebody coming here at some point during the show. And I can't tell you who it is. And I can't tell you what they're going to do.
Is it the guy that's performing at Wrigley Field tomorrow night with his band?
No. Oh, okay. It's frankly, for Score listeners, it's better than that.
Whoa.
It's better than that. You're listening to The Score. Go and check out Caleb Williams on the show from earlier. Coming up next after us, after me and Mark Grody are finished, coming up next is
Rami.
Rami Maclaw.
I'm with the Mac on Friday, too.
The Mac is back. Yeah. Grody and Rami on Friday on the show. And Score Afternoons.
Hey, speaks Rami Maclaw for Helen Mirren.
I thought Rami was great as the Queen. I really did. Thought his movie was better.
Jakeem Grant or Travis Homer?
I'll take Travis Homer.
Yeah, good special
teams. I don't know
what
we're comparing.
Yeah, I don't either. J.P. Holtz or Mercedes Lewis? Yeah. A couple of tight ends.
Yeah.
There.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
For Mark Grody, I'm Matt Spiegel. Chris Tannehill is awesome, and so is Shane Reardon, and we had a blast. Good night, everybody.
I've got to get on a plane. Apologies to all for my lack of professionalism.
Go.
But family first. All right. Peace and love.